Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
First, federal and state police officers exchanged gunfire Tuesday night with members of an armed group in Oregon, killing one person. The armed group had taken control of a federal wildlife area in the eastern part of the state. Mario Ritter brings us more on this story.
A shootout happened when police stopped cars carrying members of the group. The protesters were reportedly driving to a meeting with people who live near the wildlife area. The Oregonian online newspaper and Reuters reported that the man who was killed was Robert Finnicum. AP reports that the leader of the group, Eamon Bundy, and his brother Ryan have been arrested. AP says Brian Cava, Shauna Cox, Ryan Payne, Joseph Donald O'Shaughnessy, Peter Santilli, and John Eric Ritzheimer were also arrested. It is not clear how many members of the group are still in control of the federal wildlife area. The group, which calls itself Citizens for Constitutional Freedom, illegally occupied the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge on January 2nd. The Federal Bureau of Investigation and local officers had watched the protest for weeks without intervening. People from states as far away as Arizona and Ohio had joined the protest. Some members of the group have for many years criticized the federal government's management of public lands in the West. Many people who live near the wildlife area had been calling for the group to leave. Many of them agree with the group's criticism of the federal government, but they oppose the occupation of the wildlife area because they feared it would end violently. The group wants control of federal lands to be given to local officials. The federal government controls about half of the land in the western United States. Disputes about management of public lands have been taking place for many years. In the 1970s, Nevada and other states pressured the federal government to give state and local governments more control of the land. People want to use the land for cattle grazing, mining, and timber harvesting. I'm Mario Ritter.
The United States continues to pressure China to help restrain the North Korean nuclear weapons program. Jim Dresbach has more.
The United States and China say they want the Korean Peninsula free of nuclear weapons, but they have not agreed on new actions after North Korea's recent nuclear test. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi met Wednesday in Beijing. After the meeting, Wang said his country was preparing to support a new United Nations resolution against North Korea's nuclear program, but he did not identify any specific punishment. And he said the resolution should not fuel new tensions. Tensions in East Asia rose after North Korea claimed to have tested a hydrogen bomb underground on January 6th. Kerry said agreement needs to be reached on a strong UN resolution. The U.S. is reportedly a supporter of stronger international sanctions. This could include a ban on exports of oil to North Korea and imports of minerals from the North. Wang and Kerry also discussed territorial disputes in the South China Sea, but there was no discussion of any agreement on steps to reduce tension in the sea. China and others in Asia have competing claims to islands in the waterway. They include Vietnam, the Philippines, and Taiwan. China was the last stop during Kerry's three-nation trip to Asia. Other stops included Laos and Cambodia, where human rights and trade issues were discussed. I'm Jim Dresbach.
Vietnam's Communist Party has re-elected its party general secretary to another 5-year term. He has been called a conservative leader who supports good ties with China. Mario Ritter tells us more about what this means for Vietnam.
Vietnam's Communist Party re-elected Nguyen Phu Trong to a second 5-year term as General Secretary Wednesday. The official Vietnam news agency reported the move. The 71-year-old Trong pushed back a challenge to a seat on the 19-member ruling Politburo from Prime Minister Nguyen Tan Dung. Dung carried out a series of economic reforms during his years as Prime Minister. Those measures helped Vietnam increase foreign investment. Dung also strengthened ties with Vietnam's former enemy, the United States. This development led to Vietnam's signing of the U.S.-led Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement. Dung also spoke out against China's increasingly aggressive expansion in the South China Sea. Nguyen Phu Trong is considered a more conservative leader who supports closer ties with China. However, observers say he will likely continue Dung's economic reform agenda and position on China's territorial claims. Dung will continue as prime minister until later this year. Observers expect his replacement will be Deputy Prime Minister Nguyen Xuân Phúc. I'm Mario Ritter.
As the Zika virus spreads throughout the Americas, health officials from all over the world are responding. Our health reporter Anna Mateo has more.
U.S. President Barack Obama called for immediate development of tests, vaccines, and treatments for the Zika virus. The Zika virus has infected people in more than 20 countries. Just this week, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control confirmed that 2 people have tested positive for the virus in the states of Arkansas and Virginia. Health officials said that both became infected recently after traveling to countries where Zika virus transmission is ongoing. Health officials also reported that a baby recently born in Hawaii was infected with the virus in the mother's womb. The mother had emigrated from Brazil early in her pregnancy. In Puerto Rico, health officials are reporting 18 cases of the virus, according to Reuters. The virus was first reported in the U.S. territory last December. In Europe, a hospital said a Danish tourist who had traveled to South and Central America has tested positive for Zika virus. This came after British health officials confirmed 5 cases of returning travelers infected with the virus. The CDC said that Brazil reported its first case of Zika virus in May 2015. Since then, the virus has spread by mosquitoes and has caused infections in many Brazilian states and other countries in Latin America. The World Health Organization said the Zika virus could be linked to 4,000 suspected cases of microcephaly in Brazil. Microcephaly is when babies are born with extremely small heads. It causes severe brain damage. After the outbreak, Brazilian officials sent 200,000 troops to homes to deliver information on how to get rid of mosquitoes. In areas that will be used for upcoming carnival celebrations and this year's Olympics, city workers sprayed chemicals to kill mosquitoes and their eggs. WHO Director General Margaret Chan said Zika might spread to all countries in the Americas except for Canada and Chile. Symptoms for Zika include mild fever, rash, joint pain, and red eyes. These symptoms can last from a few days to about a week. However, an estimated 80% of people infected with the virus have no symptoms at all. This makes it difficult for pregnant women to know whether they have been infected. Researchers and health experts warn that there are many unknowns about the Zika virus. The World Health Organization said there are 2 effective ways to stop the virus from spreading: reduce the areas where mosquitoes breed, and protect people from getting bit by mosquitoes by using insect repellents, nets, screens, and clothing that covers as much of the body as possible. The CDC suggests that pregnant women avoid traveling to 14 countries and territories in the Caribbean and Latin America affected by the virus. These areas include Puerto Rico, Martinique, Haiti, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Panama, Brazil, Colombia, French Guiana, Paraguay, Suriname, Venezuela, and Mexico. The agency also warns that women who have recently traveled to these places during their pregnancy be examined and monitored for the virus. I'm Ana Mateo.
This is What's Trending Today. Bobby White works as a police officer in Gainesville, Florida. On January 15th, he was told to investigate a noise complaint. A group of young men were playing basketball in the street. Instead of lecturing the boys or sending them home, White joined in on the game. He said, "Can you believe someone's calling to complain about kids playing basketball in the street? Can you believe that?" White started shooting baskets with the kids. And a few minutes later, some more boys joined the game. Later, the police officer and the kids lowered the basketball hoop and were having a slam dunk contest. The camera on White's police car recorded the event. The police department posted the video on Facebook. It was seen over 15 million times. Department officials praised White for the way he reacted to the complaint. Before he left the boys, White said he would come back again with backup. That generally is what police officers say when they are requesting help from other officers. As the video spread, a former basketball star became interested in what happened in Gainesville. That player was Shaquille O'Neal. He was a member of the Los Angeles Lakers when they won the National Basketball Association championship. He also played for the Orlando Magic, a team not too far from Gainesville. The other day, O'Neal visited the Gainesville police and spoke with White. And then they went out to the scene. That is what police officers call the area where a crime happened. But of course, there was no crime. This time, White told the boys, "Told you I was going to bring some backup, right? You guys ready?" And O'Neal emerged from a nearby sports utility vehicle. One of the kids said, "Oh my God, you're huge," as O'Neal, weighing over 140 kilograms and standing over 2 meters tall, walked up. O'Neal played basketball with the boys and other officers as a crowd gathered. O'Neal eventually gathered the boys together and offered this wisdom: be a leader, not a follower. Respect your peers and your elders. And you can be whatever you want to be. In addition, he passed out $100 to each boy, as long as he made one free throw shot. The video was played over 1 million times. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
The Consumer Electronics Show is the world's biggest show for electronic devices. It is held every January in Las Vegas, Nevada. Kathleen Strzok tells us more about this year's show.
Thousands of people were in the American state of Nevada earlier this month for the Consumer Electronics Show. The CES is the world's biggest show for electronic devices. It is held every January in the city of Las Vegas. The CES is said to be a guide to the path technology companies will follow in the coming year. The show offers visitors a chance to see high-tech products that may change our lives or may never be seen again. Some of the products are fun, while others are useful. From high-tech cameras to instruments for measuring physical fitness, these new gadgets and services are meant to make our day-to-day activities easier. These products are either being sold now or should be available later this year. Number 1. The Polar Balance Smart Scale. Activity trackers can help you keep records of your activity levels and physical exercise. But how many trackers will connect with a scale to measure your weight? The Polar Balance Smart Scale connects to an activity tracker and a software program to show whether the exercise affects your weight. The software application can be downloaded on your phone. Set a weight goal using the Flow app, then get weighed on the smart scale. The Flow app also connects to a calorie counting app if you want to follow what you eat. Number 2. Withings Go. A common problem with activity trackers is their seemingly endless need for electricity. Users report they often need to recharge their trackers. It can be aggravating to exercise only to discover that the device needs more power. WithThingsGo is a simple activity tracker. It uses a black and white screen, similar to an e-reader, to show your activity levels. The battery on the Go lasts up to 8 months, so you do not have to worry about adding power every day or week. The Go follows you both when you are awake and when you are asleep, and knows the difference between the two. You can see your information on an app on your phone to learn about your sleep patterns and physical activity levels. Number 3, Presence. Presence is a security camera that helps you see what is on the other side of your door. The camera sends a live video stream to the app on your phone and informs you when a car, person, or animal comes close to the door. Video is also recorded by the camera. Presence should be available later this year. Number 4, NEMA. Millions of people have stomach problems after eating food containing gluten. Gluten is a name for the proteins found in wheat and other grains. People who cannot eat these proteins often have trouble knowing when a food has gluten or not. Now, a device called NEMA can identify gluten in food. Add a piece of food into NEMA to see whether it has gluten levels of more than 20 parts per million. The device works with solids and liquids to identify gluten. Number 5, Misfit Ray. Not all activity trackers look like activity trackers. One example is the Misfit Ray. It looks like a metal container and can be worn around one's neck or as a bracelet on the arm or the leg. Slide the ray over a cord to wear it on your wrist, or add it to a chain and wear it as a necklace. The ray will record your activity and sleep, showing you information on a phone app. The ray shakes when you get a text or phone call. You can also use the ray to take selfies and control the lights in your home. Number 6, Wien Thermostat. The Wien Thermostat is designed to help heat and cool homes when people are around and save energy when they are away. The thermostat connects to your phone to know when you are at home. Users can set their ideal temperatures for when they are at home and when they are away to save on energy costs. Number 7, Codapillar. Coding is a necessary skill for computer programmers. When are children old enough to learn to code? At the Consumer Electronics Show, Fisher-Price showed a product that gives children the building blocks of coding. It is called Codapillar and is designed for children from 3 to 8 years old. The Codapillar looks like a caterpillar. This one has colorful lights and moves according to the order in which the pieces are placed. The Codapillar is set for sale in June. Number 8, PIC. PIC is a video camera that looks like it belongs in a cartoon. In fact, its manufacturer makes versions so this camera can be a cartoon character, such as Frank, Bob, or Jack. The camera is made from plastic, so you can bend it around a dog's collar, your wrist, a bicycle, or other places from which you may want to take pictures. The PIC can store thousands of photos and can record up to 1 hour of video. I'm Kathleen Strzok.
Jonathan, you have been to New York City, right?
Yes, I have, many times.
So you probably know the city has plenty of museums and art galleries.
Mm-hmm.
But did you see any art made from buttons?
Like the buttons on clothing?
Yeah. Sounds strange, right?
Yeah.
Let's listen to Katie Weaver's report on the button show now on display in New York City.
No one can deny that buttons are an important clothing device. But can they rise to the level of art? Organizers of an exhibit in New York City think so. Peter Solio Wright organized the Button Show at Rush Arts Gallery in the Chelsea neighborhood of Manhattan. 11 artists used the small, ordinary objects to create sculptures, portraits, and wearable art. Some of the works are political, some are personal, and others are just fun. Wright said each artist reimagines and repurposes the buttons to make art. What I tried to do with this show, he said, was look at artists who were elevating that level of craft. He said he wanted the button art to be comparable to a painting because of the amount of detail and precision in the work. Artist Beau McCall produced a Harlem Hangover. It looks like a wine bottle that fell over on a table. A stream of connected red buttons hang over the side, like wine flowing down. Similar red buttons form a small pool on the floor. McCall layers buttons of different shapes and sizes to create the bottle. The stitching that holds them together is also part of the artistic design. For San Francisco-based artist Lisa Kokin, buttons are highly personal. She said her father was an upholsterer. After he died in 2001, she created a portrait of him, using only buttons. That memorial to her father led to other button portraits, including those of activists Rosa Parks and Cesar Chavez. Kokin also makes button sculptures. A sculpture of her dog Chico is among the works in the show. She first built a structure of wire. Then she covered it in old and new buttons. She connects them all with thread. Kokin said, "It is as though I'm painting with buttons." Others use buttons for details. Artist Amalia Amaki of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, placed them on and around old photographs. Los Angeles artist Camilla Taylor attached buttons to three large sculptures that looked like headless animals with long, narrow legs. The Button Show ends March 12th. The Rush Philanthropic Arts Foundation paid for the exhibition. The foundation was created in 1995 by the Simmons brothers, artist Danny, hip-hop producer Russell, and rapper Rev Run. The foundation seeks to bring the arts to urban youth and to provide support for new artists. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.